Well, good morning to all of you. I do not know how the beginning of this sermon is going to go because it's completely unrehearsed. I just sort of thought about this as I was sitting up front this morning. I know there are at least some of my family who think that perhaps I share just a little bit too much of myself at times, so sorry. I want to apologize to those who know that I missed you on Wednesday night. I know there are some out there who have, if not the same, perhaps at least similar problem that I have. I suffer from depression. Most of the time it's fine. Sometimes it just catches up with me. My depression usually comes out as uncontrollable rage and feelings of absolute helplessness. You just want to cover your head and sit in a corner and cry till it goes away. It's remarkable what a difference 4 days will make. I could not face coming in here and letting you see that on my face on Wednesday night. And of all the weeks, to have this be so strong, the week where I'm speaking, it's just amazing. I give it all to the Lord. He brought me back. I lost what I originally wanted to speak about because it was too much research. I'd like to do it another time. Plus, I was going to have to apologize to my family because I was going to speak about the two things you're not supposed to speak about at all, which are religion and politics. So I didn't like that. I'll do that some other time. But anyway, I guess confessing your faults one to another, that's one of mine. And again, I ask your forgiveness for missing on Wednesday. But I'm having something different that I'm going to speak about this morning. It's all going to be based on three little verses in Matthew chapter 7. If you want to leave your Bible there for reference, I'll have other verses that I'll use this morning. But Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23 will be basically what I'm speaking about. And I'll be reading translations, most of them from the New Living Translation. For me, it's a little closer to modern English and makes some of the verses a little more easier for me to understand. Matthew 7:21 beginning. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of the Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Now, you might not think it, but this country is actually very heavenly minded. I know that statistics can be somewhat jaded, skewed, but I have a few this morning. In a recent poll that I found, 81% of the people asked said they believed in a literal heaven where people lived with God after death. Of those 81%, 61% said they believed that they would go to heaven immediately when they died, and 88% believed that they would see departed family and friends when they arrived in heaven. Now, I'm not arguing those last two points. I think that's a separate sermon in itself. But what I found absolutely astonishing was this 81%. When you think about how this country, with the people in power, seem to be trying to turn us away from religion, and how it seems like no one's doing anything about it. But there's more. Of that 81%, 6% believed heaven could be reached by doing good works. 57% believed that heaven was available to all who placed their faith in God and did good works. And 34% believed that heaven was for those who had faith in God alone. They just believed. So, of the people that believed in that there was a heaven, somewhere around 90% really kind of had the wrong idea about how you get there. So you see, what I want to talk about is that not everyone goes to heaven when they die. In this most important part of a person's life, many people are sincerely wrong about what they need to do for their salvation. As Jesus was drawing near to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he took the time to remind the men of the seriousness of their salvation. He wanted all who heard them to make sure that they were genuinely converted. Could there be some of us here this morning who are truly saved? I'm sorry. Who have never been truly saved? Maybe there are some of us who think we are saved, but in truth, we're not. Let's examine verse 21 a little farther here. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. I think that's one of the most startling statements in the Bible. Not everyone who calls him Lord will be saved. So some people who think they are saved are in fact still lost and headed to hell. Jesus makes it clear that not all that profess him possess him. A mere profession of Jesus as Savior is not enough. You may believe, you may be good and sincere, but merely saying that you know him is not enough. Belonging to a church, being a good person, doing religious things, these are all good, but none of them are going to save your soul alone. In John 3, beginning in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So salvation only comes through this new birth. You must be baptized and follow God's plan. It's clear that Jesus is telling us that some that think they're saved in reality are being deceived. The Bible has a few things that I'd like to bring out that discuss this matter. Matthew 22 and 14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Few are chosen. Paul also knew that some in the church would be fooled. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, he writes, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith." And Peter also mentions this in 2 Peter 1 and 10. "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." We need to be sure about where our faith is today. We need to test. We need to study. We need to evaluate our beliefs. We need to confirm that we are correct. We need to examine ourselves to see that our faith is genuine. Our eternity depends on it. Remember, as I'm speaking of today, not everyone gets to go to heaven. In the second part of this verse, Jesus clears up the matter of what brings salvation to a person's life. He says that people are saved by doing the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? According to John chapter 6, verse 40, "This is the will of God, for it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up that last day." So it's clear that the salvation comes to those who see his Son and believe in him. "Trust nothing but the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you from your sins." Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved." And as we do before we're baptized, we confess that we believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died for us. We confess this. We receive forgiveness for our sin. And the great thing is that it is available to all. It's available to all. Revelations 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who drinks freely from, who desires, drink freely from the water of life. So salvation is simple, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. That's all it takes, right? There's a little bit more to it. Going back to Matthew 7 and verse 22, it says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. These people that were rejected, they cried out. They had preached. They had cast out devils. They had done many wonderful works, and they did it all in the name of Jesus. But they were so busy working for the Lord, they never took time to get to know him personally. They called him Lord, but they didn't know him. Can you be saved by your works then? These things that they were boasting about? No. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one would boast. Do you see the boastfulness? I'm sorry, it's a hard word for me to say. Do you see the boastfulness of those who are speaking in Matthew 7:22? Their claim to heaven is based upon what they had done. It's not about them. It's not about you. It's not about what you've accomplished. It's about what Jesus did when he went to the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Salvation is about him. Salvation is about the one who suffered, bled, and died, and accomplished what a million lifetimes of religious works could never do, free you from your sin. Hebrews 9:12 through 14 reads, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciousness from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. It's done. There's nothing else for us to do but accept Jesus and God's plan for our salvation. If you have received him and follow his plan, that's great. But if not, you need to realize again that not everyone is going to get to heaven. Verse 23, again it reads, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So already shocked that they're not being accepted by their great works, what do they hear? I never knew you. They were working in his name. They knew Jesus, but Jesus tells the truth. At no time did he ever know them. Now, of course, we know that Jesus knows all. He knows everything. But the point is that he didn't know them in this personal relationship. 2 Timothy 2:19 sums this up. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation alone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. All who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. If Jesus ever did know you, he still knows you today. If not, then you might be in this crowd that gathers on that day and finds that they don't have a home in heaven. In the second part of verse 23, they are ordered to leave the Lord. If they're ordered to leave the Lord on the day of judgment, that can only mean one thing: condemnation to hell. These people are mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 1st chapter verses 8 through 9. In flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus, they will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. There are vast differences between heaven and hell. Heaven is described as a place of endless bliss, eternal glory. On the other hand, hell is described this way. In Mark chapter 9, unquenchable fire. In Luke chapter 16, a place of memory and remorse, a place of thirst, a place of misery and pain. In Matthew chapter 13, a place of frustration and anger. In Revelation 21, a place of endless separation. Pain, misery, thirst, frustration, angry, remorse, unquenchable fire, endless bliss, and eternal glory. Where do you want to spend your eternity? I think some of the saddest words in the entire Bible are recorded here in this verse. I never knew you. Depart from me. These are people who expected the Lord to welcome them home. They were sincere. They thought they were saved. They knew all the right things to say. But they were basing their hopes of salvation on their own works and goodness. They'll go to hell because they chose their way instead of God's way. I'm going to interrupt myself here for just one moment to let you know that I pretty much consistently, when I speak up here, have absolutely no idea how long I'm going to take. I'm just about done. So you get to eat early today. Because of the fact that they were basing their hope and their salvation on their own works and their goodness, I think it shows the absolute importance of knowing the Bible. See, we at the Church of Christ, we do things somewhat differently in spots than most denominations. We sing without instruments. We partake of the Lord's Supper weekly. We don't celebrate Easter or Christmas, or at least not as a religious holiday, maybe as a family get-together. We don't sprinkle our infants. We don't baptize infants. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. The list is much longer. But it's important not just that we know Jesus and know that there's a heaven, but that you know the plan, the whole plan, and remember that this plan never changes. It hasn't adapted for our modern times. It's the same plan that was around 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. It was the same plan that has always been there in your Bible. 81% of Americans believed in the existence of heaven. Almost that many also expected to go there when they're dying. But will they? Only if they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Only if they follow God's plan. Unless they come to God through Jesus Christ, they'll never be saved. Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus? Do you think you're saved? If the slightest doubt is in your heart about whether or not you're saved, you need to come and get things settled right now. You need to make your way to Jesus. He's calling. Will you come? I remind you again, not everyone gets to go to heaven. Will you?